Kevin Spacey, Harvey Weinstein, and now Matt Lauer and Garrison Keillor. The entertainment industry is currently embroiled in ongoing sex scandals that have the news media, Twitter, and morbid curiosities churning. Nearly 100 years ago, the film industry endured a series of equally shocking scandals that eventually resulted in a code of conduct for on-screen and off. But would the solutions then help Hollywood now? Laura Kennedy has more with GLT's Culture Maven.
There's plenty of talk right now of scandal in Hollywood, with the famous and the powerful being exposed as sexual predators. But years ago, before movies could even talk, there were other scandals that drew the white-hot glare of public scrutiny and forced the film industry to make some changes to ensure its own survival. In 1921, popular comedian Roscoe Fatty Arbuckle was accused of rape and manslaughter in the death of starlet Virginia Rappe. In 1922, renowned director William Desmond Taylor was murdered. The killer was never found. And in 1923, matinee idol Wallace Reid died while in a sanitarium trying to kick his addiction to morphine. These three scandals and more sparked condemnation from religious, civic, and political groups who demanded the film industry clean up its act. Sherry Zeck is the interim dean of Illinois State University's Milner Library and GLT's Culture Maven. She says this type of notoriety was not what Hollywood studios wanted, so they instituted a kind of self-censorship known as the Hays Code.
Hollywood had an interest in shaping up, but there were other things going on too. There was Ladies Temperance League and other movements to clean up the movies themselves. So these real life scandals added fuel to the fire that was already making smoke. See, I'm trying to stick with my metaphor here, was already making smoke to change the content of the films. And really, the Hays Code was much more a preemptive strike against impending government censorship, really. The scandals of the 20s and other issues helped the studios tamp down on their talent, over whom they had, by the 1930s anyway, pretty close to absolute control anyway, in terms of their careers. And so there was much more concerted effort to protect and cultivate certain images for the stars by the 1930s. The scandals of the 20s were one part of that, but it was also just plain business that stars and their lives were of interest to the public. And so the best way to keep the public coming back was to keep those stars and their public lives a curated spectacle and not real life, as it were.
So that was Hollywood back then. Hollywood mm-hmm. was the studio system back then. We had these handful of studios that had strict control over their actors, over their employees,
right.
And hopefully, they thought, over the message. Now, Hollywood's a whole different landscape. It's a more of a wide-open town.
Mm-hmm.
And you get somebody like Harvey Weinstein, who went rogue with his behavior for years upon years upon years. And we have Weinstein and other people like Brett Ratner. We're hearing all these terrible stories about these Hollywood players. Is this a blip in history, or is this another chance where Hollywood's going to look at itself and say, you know what? Maybe we need to change things.
Well, first of all, Hollywood isn't a thing the way it was 50, 60 years ago. 50, my God, it's not 50 anymore. 70 years ago. Hollywood isn't a thing. It's not a unified entity. There's not the same kind of control. Weinstein, remember, he was the outsider, right? He was the leader of the independents.
Yeah.
25, 30 years ago. And now he's one of the most powerful leaders of one of the most powerful organizations, or was anyway. Now that he's been deposed, that's not so true. But the old joke about the casting couch, that came from somewhere. That didn't just appear in the last 2 weeks. That didn't just appear even in the last 20 years. That's been a stereotype for a very long time, and that comes from somewhere. So I think what's coming to light is our practices that are pervasive in the industry. Now, is it a blip or not? It's not a blip in terms of behavior. It might be a blip in terms of exposing the people at the most powerful levels for their behavior and there being consequences for it. That's what remains to be seen, is how deeply lived these consequences are. Roma Polanski, 20 years ago, was it?
It was the late 70s.
That long ago.
Yeah.
I am old. Time is collapsing on me. Roma Polanski, accused of rape and exiled from this country.
Because she was a minor.
Exactly.
But he won an Oscar. He went on to win an Oscar. And everybody was seemed to be okay with that.
Yep. Woody Allen?
Yeah, Woody Allen.
Okay, there's a whole other one. So what we're seeing right now in terms of these consequences, that's what's a little unusual. And that's what I'm not sure what the longevity of that will be. So that Weinstein fell from power so quickly, as soon as some of these things started coming to light in the mainstream media, is what's astonishing.
Well,
not
why do
the
you think
that, itself,
why do you
frankly.
Think that happened? Were there people who were just chomping at the bit to see that guy dethroned?
Oh yeah, I'm sure there were. But what was the tipping point? Look, something's going on in
yes.
our country, which those of us who are feminists hope sticks. But the response to Trump's election, in which how many hundreds of thousands of women marched on Washington during inauguration week, how many newspapers and left-wing causes have seen their donations skyrocket since Trump's election, I think it feels to many people like there's a groundswell of activity, of anger, of, yes, empowerment, or on the other side of, I can't believe this guy got elected. Now we have to resist at all levels because this thing happened. I think that it's that wave that is making women feel like they can speak out. That and certain levels of economic security, some of these people who have been able to speak out have achieved in their lives. That helps. I think this is a new wave of women being vocal about not liking what's being done to them. Again, whether it lasts or not, who knows? And where it has effect and where it doesn't have effect, who knows? I kind of wonder, as quickly as the news cycle changes, if Weinstein had come after Moore, would his fall have been so dramatic? I'm not sure. Because the American public's interest lags so quickly.
Do you feel that the current culture of the sort of the boys club and the guys thinking they can treat women any way they want to in the entertainment industry, is that kind of culture just too ingrained to be changed? Can it be controlled at all?
I think as more women have positions of power, not just as actors who have a following and who headed up a huge bazillion-dollar enterprise like Wonder Woman, but also as producers and writers and leaders of various related industries get into place, I think that makes it easier to make men feel less free to do whatever they want. But man, this is still a patriarchal culture, and it has been millennia in the making, and it hasn't really changed yet. So I think right now, there are probably a lot of people who are feeling worried and self-conscious about their past behaviors and their current behaviors. But I don't expect that to stick. The long arc of history may bend toward justice, but it's a long arc of history.
Well, you have the actress Gal Gadot, who, mm-hmm. of course, was in Wonder Woman. The sequel is in the works, and she's put her foot down. She says she won't do it if Brett Ratner is involved in the production in any way, shape, or form. So she's got power. Mm-hmm. She brought millions to Warner Brothers. So here we have a woman with power, and she's wielding her power in a way that's positive for all women. Now we have a good example of the use of power in Hollywood.
Yes, and I she's even gone a step further. I believe she said she won't do the project if he profits from it in any way. So it's not just that he can't be on the set or he can't be named as producer. At least she's saying right now that she won't do it if he's connected in any way that puts more money in his pocket. Now, whether her various contractual obligations will really allow her to do that, I don't know. Also, it's not just that, she's Wonder Woman. She is Wonder Woman. It is good for the franchise for her to make this stance. It's not just good for women. It's not just good for Gal Gadot, and I'm really glad that she's doing this. But for this particular franchise, it's only going to make business better. I think she is operating honestly, but I think in terms of the cultural capital she has, she's not really risking a lot. I mean, one of the things that I've said at other times when we've talked is little girls are watching. Little boys are watching, young children are watching, and the more they can see people that they admire, that they look up to, whether it is a character or an actual person who is standing up and saying, that's enough, the better that is for our future, absolutely. There is already a developing blacklist. Kevin Spacey just got removed from a film. House of Cards is on hiatus or canceled, I can't remember which, although it was probably only had a year left anyway.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Tambor just left his show.
Just left his show, but word is that his character was kind of being faded out anyway. So will Jeffrey Tambor get another job? Who knows? But I imagine there will be blacklists and gray lists for a while for particularly prominent people who've been accused of things. But I expect there to be a cover-up of equal and perhaps greater intensity for other people who we don't know about yet who have exhibited or are exhibiting bad behavior. This may be a watershed moment, but right now it feels like the current news cycle.
So there's a lot of outrage out there. Do you think perhaps then the outrage is just going to peter away, that the outrage won't lead to meaningful change and reform?
There's been outrage before. There was outrage during a certain presidential campaign with a certain presidential candidate boasting about what many construed as abusive behavior toward women. A certain presidential candidate who said horrific things on Howard Stern and everywhere else, even about his own daughter, who is our president. So outrage only goes so far, and outrage is only one part of our responses to whomever it is or whatever industry it is or whatever situation in which it occurs. And already we are hearing perhaps not quite with equal force in the mainstream media, but certainly if you go into that evil world of Twitter, there is many horrible things being said about the accusers as about the people being accused. So the world's not changing this week. The entertainment industry is always malleable. What's not malleable is the underlying profit motive, okay? That's not going away.
Uh-huh.
But I believe it can absorb just about anything to its own profit-driven benefit. So for every Harvey Weinstein who gets the boot, there's somebody else for whom the industry will cover up, or someone else will now have an opportunity to run the Weinstein Company, or this will make some really big hit movie someday. So there's a way that Hollywood sort of broadly written can absorb quite a lot and turn it around, maybe not immediately, but eventually turn it around to just another story, just another hunk of interest. Any press is good press, right? So how many people are out there now trying to check out which films they've liked really were Harvey's pictures? How many of them are out there watching Kevin Spacey's movies and looking for hints of things? But the point is, there is great elasticity within the entertainment industry to absorb criticism, and it's much less likely, perhaps because it's not, doesn't have the same kind of homogeneity that it did in the 1930s, it's much less likely to react as a whole to a few incidents the way it did in 1934.
That's Sherry Zeck, interim dean of Illinois State University's Milner Library and GLT's Culture Maven. I'm Laura Kennedy.
Changes are afoot at the embattled Weinstein Company. The woman who led the U.S. Small Business Administration under President Obama has submitted a bid to acquire the film studio. Maria Contreras-Sweet leads a group of investors with female leaders from private equity, venture capital, and Hollywood. And one aspect of the bid is getting a great deal of attention. It proposes to install a majority female board of directors with Contreras-Sweet as the chairman. You're listening to Sound Ideas.